Welcome back to the Queen Session.
We are two brown chicks changing the face of therapy on
both sides
of the couch. Yes.
Yay. Today we are going to talk about what to expect when you go to therapy. I know we have a lot of therapists that pop in, so it'd be great to kind of get some feedback and hear what you guys think about the different questions and things like that. I kind of wrote the questions in a manner of like a client that might be asking those questions, and then we'll just kind of discuss it from there. But first, I feel like we never introduce ourselves first off.
We have stopped. We've stopped doing that.
Everybody knows who we are.
You know who we
are. Maybe we don't.
We're those two brown chicks on the couch.
Right. I'm Ebony Harris. I'm a relationship therapist here in Houston, Texas. Co-founder of Melanin Mental Health, which is where her Between Sessions came from, and also founder slash host of Room for Relations Sex and Relationship Podcast. Yes.
That's yes. And you also have your private practice.
Oh, and I have a private practice. Ebony Harris, EMA Services, EbonyHarris.com. I don't really have a name. Need to work on that. And here in Houston, where I work with couples and individuals.
That's right.
Adults.
Yes. And I'm Elisa Bokeen. I am a relationship therapist, a sex therapist, marriage and family therapist. I am also the co-founder of Melanin and Mental Health, and I am also in private practice. My private practice is the Relationship and Sexual Wellness Center here in Houston, Texas.
And the Melanin and Mental Health, for those that don't know, is kind of a movement that has turned, well, it was a social media campaign that Elisa started that has turned into this movement of therapists that are dope and that are culturally aware and want to make sure that clients that are looking for therapists that can understand the struggles of a minority client,
right?
Specifically Black and Latinx communities.
Yes.
We have dope therapists on our website. We try to reduce the stigma of mental health and connect those two communities.
Absolutely. Removing, you know, like that wall between our community and our professions.
Right.
You know.
Right. And so we do that through, of course, social media. If you follow us, you see all the dope things happening. So our social media is kind of cool. That's all Elisa. And then we also have our website where we kind of post information, blogs, the podcast. Mm-hmm. We do shirts. This one says self-care is sexy. Shirts that kind of reduce the stigma by making it more normal.
Yes.
And then we have our directory, our list of dope therapists. And we have lots of dope therapists on there. And we're always looking for more. Right now, we're offering the 3 months free. So if you sign up, you get to try it out. Get some people that contact you. You'll see how many people are viewing your page, how many people are clicking on your website. And so we really want to encourage everyone to sign up for the directory if you have a practice or an agency or something like that, so that as those people are looking for you, because as we spread the awareness, they're looking for people to seek out.
Right.
They're seeking out therapists. They're seeking out people to talk to.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure we have those people available to them.
Yeah, so. Because we keep telling them, you know, about all the benefits of therapy and that therapy is dope. And it is. And so once they're there, they're like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Well, where are
how
they?
How do I find them?
Yeah. Right. So our directory is a national directory.
It is a national directory. Yeah. We have therapists. If you look at the map, it's like little pockets.
Mm-hmm.
We have Houston, of course. We have Atlanta has a nice little pocket. Mm-hmm. Jersey, New York has a pocket, California has a pocket, Chicago, and then some places have like one or two.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're signing up. Make sure that you're telling other people to sign up so that they can find you. Some people, I feel like they'll be like, oh, I'm the only therapist in my area, and they don't want to tell anybody. You can't see everybody. So we need to have a variety so they don't go and just see one person. It's like, well, this person doesn't take my insurance, or this person doesn't work with kids. Right.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we have a full directory with enough
people. And it's also being on the directory, it's more of a membership where you get to access all of this other information, and you know, we invite you to also be on this podcast,
right,
so that you know, you don't have to be local. We connect with you, and that way, you know, again, the more people we can reach to let them know about the services that are out there, the better for all of us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So check it out. Go to melaninmentalhealth.com to learn more. We're continuing to grow the brand, the website, everything. And so we want you guys to be along for the journey. That would be amazing.
Yes.
So, all right. So let's get into this topic. And then, we'll talk about the event later. All right. So today we're going to talk about, like I said, what to expect when you go into therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first question is, what does the first session look like? So for you, with your clients, what does the first session look like?
So you know, even before clients come in, a lot of times, you know, they'll either call, but even with my intake, it's really, yes, getting to know the therapist, getting to know what brought you to therapy. But it's really about finding out what it is that you also want to get out of therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell clients, I'm very goal oriented with my clients. And so I want you thinking about how will I know that I'm getting what I need out of therapy?
Right.
And, you know, being as specific as possible, you know, mm-hmm. not I want to be happy.
Right. Right. So helping them kind of direct them in a way of being clear on mm-hmm. what their goals mm-hmm. are for therapy.
Right. But there's also a lot. So the assessment part and, you know, finding out about what brought you to therapy, what led to it, any previous experiences you may have had with therapy, good, mm-hmm. bad, or indifferent, any other mental health issues, physical issues that might be going on. It's a lot of kind of getting to know
right.
what we're dealing with, what you want to work on, and where you want to go.
Right. I think it's the same for me. The first session, I have an actual intake mm-hmm. that I use. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I use it, but it's not strict. Right. Like, sometimes I work with couples and I'll say, like, okay, so why are we here? That's the first section of my mm-hmm, intake. Mm-hmm. That could take the whole hour and a half.
Yeah.
So we might not get through the whole intake, which is fine. You know, I also do some individual work. And so I try to get as much information as I can. But I do understand that this is your time. And so I will allow you to use it as you please. But I do have an intake that goes through everything from what's currently going on to where are you from, what's your family like, what expectations did you have mm-hmm. for like life and relationships, and what is have you actually been met with? You know, I try to go through all those different things. But again, if the client comes in and is like, look, I just vent for like an hour.
Right.
I give them that space to do that. Because sometimes they, you know, some people don't know why they're coming to therapy.
Right.
They just want to come and figure it out. And so that helps to have the assessment. Some people are like, I have things to talk about. Let me use my time. Yeah. So then I kind of give them that option.
Yeah. And sometimes with couples, one of them wants to be here and one of them doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or they might have different goals for therapy. But yeah, it's a lot of get to know you, get to know your history, and get to know, you know, what you're hoping to get out of it. Which I think it's important for clients to know that your first few sessions, there is going to be a lot of questions and trying to understand, because it just really depends on what their expectations are. Because I've heard people express frustration like, well, you know, it's just kind of like getting a lot of information.
Right. But it takes a long. Some people say it takes too long to get into the meat of things. Yeah. Yeah.
Which we understand, because it's like you're coming to us because you're struggling with something.
Right.
And you want relief. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we live in a culture where we want that relief fast. It's just.
And I think there's something, everyone is different, right? Mm-hmm. So there are therapists that the first session, they just sit there and say, how can I help you? And that's it. And mm-hmm. then it's up to you. You know, so I think that's, you mentioned earlier how you did the intake assessments. And the phone calls. And mm-hmm. I know I do phone consultations mm-hmm. as well, just so people can kind of know what to expect.
Right.
And so I think that's important, like, to be able to call your therapist ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
If you have those questions, if you're curious about it, if you're anxious about it. A lot of people are anxious about if they've never done therapy before.
Yeah.
They're scared. And so to be able to have a phone call to say, okay, what does it look like when you do therapy?
Right.
What should I expect when I first come in?
Yeah.
That's an important conversation to have, because every therapist is different.
Right. And don't be scared. Don't be scared to call the therapist and say, I have a few questions, or, you know, contact them and let them know, I have some questions before I come into therapy. Mm-hmm. They should be able to answer those questions for you, you know, like they should be able to recognize that you have some anxiety about it and talk to you for a little bit about it. I mean, granted, it's not a therapy session.
Right.
The consultations are not therapy.
Right. It's literally, what do you need? And this is how I can help or refer you to someone else.
Right. And this is what you can expect.
Right.
But that's not the time where you're going to be getting therapy.
Right. Right, right, right. But, so what, is there anything, I've had clients ask me before, like, what should they do to prepare for therapy? Like the first session mm-hmm. or something like mm-hmm. that. What do you suggest for clients? Like, so they made the phone call and maybe the session is a week away.
Mm-hmm.
What can they do to prepare themselves a little better for the session?
Well, again, I go back to really thinking about what you want to get out of therapy. Mm-hmm. And if it's an individual, again, I'll tell them, really start thinking about what will my life look like? Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes when you tell people set goals, it's kind of like, ooh.
Right.
But if you ask them, what will your life be like? What do you envision it like? What would, you know, what would you be feeling like the majority of the time? Or what type of job would you be in? Or what would your relationship, like really starting. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them, if you can't, like if you can't even see the vision, that's okay.
Right.
We'll start there.
Right.
Like, where are we going? Right. But, and then with couples, I'll encourage them, because are they even able, that might just start for them to see, like, are you even able to talk about what you want to get out mm-hmm. of therapy? Are, is one of you coming in because you want to save the relationship and the other one is not?
Right.
You know, because right. that will also affect what you're going to get out of mm-hmm. therapy. So just start really thinking about, because, and I'll tell them, you're investing your time, your energy, your resources. I want to make sure you're getting what you need out of it.
Right, right. I think it's the same. Definitely the, you know, I'll let them know, like, just think about some things that you want to address and what, why you have chosen this time mm-hmm. To seek right. therapy.
Yeah.
I think that's a big question, because a lot of times people will think about it. And it's like, what's happening right now that was like, yes, I need to go.
Right.
So identifying the main issue, I guess, technically, mm-hmm. As well as I might point them in the direction of some resources. Because depending on if they're in crisis, some people, when they're in crisis, they're searching for something.
Right.
So I'll point them in the direction of like, well, this is a book you can look at, or these are some blogs mm-hmm. you can look at. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to give them some resources. So if it's a week in between, they can feel like they're doing something.
Right.
Because that is hard sometimes when you, most of the time when people call us, they're like, I need to see someone like now.
Right.
And like, I can't see you right now, but mm-hmm. maybe in 3 days, you know, mm-hmm. if my schedule permits, I can see you, or maybe we have to wait till next week if we can't, you know, so giving them something to kind of grasp onto in that moment mm-hmm. is something that
right.
I'll say, like, you know, well, check out this book, or go look at right. this blog, or I have lots of blogs on my website you can just check out and see mm-hmm. if any of them fit for you and help you kind of prepare for that first session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving them something that they feel like is already starting that change.
Right. Something they can do now. Because mm-hmm. that's what a lot of people struggle with, is what can I do right now right. to make this better?
Right.
Yeah. And that's why I think even at the end of the first session, I don't necessarily give homework at the end of the first session, because I still want to get to know them. But I definitely tell them what to expect in the next couple of sessions. And I also, I'm depending on the feel, I might say, like, well, think about this, or do this. Mm-hmm. Or so, because sometimes, like you said, they're like, it's taking so long to get into the meat of things. Mm-hmm. And I try to make it where, at least at the end of the session, you have gotten something from it, and there's something that you could possibly try in your relationship right. or at home or whatever the case may be.
Right. Certain exercises. Or, and it also depends on the client, because some clients, they don't want homework.
Yep.
They don't want you to tell them, now go home and read this book.
Right.
Or, you know, so I try to have a variety of resources.
Exactly.
Is there a video? Is there a book? Is there an audio book? You know, I love audio books. Mm-hmm. And so,
I tell people, just think about this. Like, right. you know, if I know that they're a person that's like, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you take 5 minutes on your drive to think about this, and
exactly.
we'll talk about it when you come back?
What
you know?
Can you
what
do?
Can you do?
Exactly. Like, really working with the client, like, what can you do? Because the reality is, therapy works if you work the therapy inside and outside of the office.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But
it's only an hour and a half, maybe.
Yes.
Unless you're doing like those intense 3-4 hour sessions.
And if the therapist takes insurance, it's 45 minutes.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
A therapy hour, if when you're paying with insurance is 45 minutes.
Right.
You know?
And so when you think of that 45 minutes within a week.
Yeah. Or sometimes people, two weeks.
Right.
Like, there has to be, you're using that time to gain the insight, to learn new resource, new skills, and then you apply it out there. You,
right.
you begin to apply it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's why I keep my magic wand there.
What? Okay, as a client, what if I have nothing to talk about?
Sure.
Do I still come? Like, I know I have clients who be like, well, I didn't really have anything going on this week, so I'm not coming in. I'm like, mm-hmm. wait, is that all we do is talk about what happened with your week? So sometimes they'll be like, I don't have anything to talk about. Everything yeah. is good. Mm-hmm. You know, so what do you tell clients that like are like, I'm good. I don't have, not even they're good. Like, they know they need to be working on things, but mm-hmm. they don't have anything specifically to talk about.
Yeah. So, you know, it really has to, again, I work very much in putting it back to the client, like, so what do you want to use this time for, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. you're here,
right?
And you're investing in it. So what do you need today? Like, what do you need today? Or maybe highlight what is going right, right? So maybe now that things are going well, well, let's highlight how that's different than maybe it was going before.
Right.
So let's identify what led to that change. Mm-hmm. So compared to when you first started therapy and now these things are going well, so what do you think?
What shifted?
Mm-hmm. What are you doing different? Mm-hmm. So we can keep, and sometimes that's helpful to a client to really like, oh yeah, well I started doing that and now this.
Yeah. Cause sometimes clients don't give themselves enough credit. It's just everything resolved itself.
Right.
It's like, you didn't never, have any ever, part ever. Of that. Right. Yeah. So everything's just fixed itself.
Yes.
And
that,
yeah. I tend to have, like you said, I do kind of put it back on them. Like, what do you want to use the time for? How can you know that this is a beneficial session?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would make you feel walking out like, okay, I got something out of that. But I also have like certain, as I'm learning more about my clients, there are certain things or exercises that I might be like, okay, well, let's try this and let's see how this resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I know that you have certain goals and maybe you haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then I might, if you have nothing to talk about, like, and usually after a couple of questions, we'll find something.
Right.
But
right.
if you truly are like, nope, everything's good. How's work? Everything's good. Home. Great. You know, then I'll pull out an exercise that is more like introspective and something that can help them kind of identify patterns and things
mm-hmm.
like that. Like, so I'll tell my clients like, your session is your time. So we spend it the way that you would like to spend
right.
it. We spend it working on the things that you would like to. But just know, like, if you come in and you're, like, struggling, like, you're like, no, I don't. Or sometimes clients come in and they have things they need to address, but they're not ready to address
yeah.
them. And so then I might pull out an exercise and we'll work on that for, like, 10 minutes. And then we'll talk about how that feels. And sometimes that brings up other things
mm-hmm.
that they never even thought about or that has been bothering them, but they weren't going to bring it up.
Right.
So if you don't have anything to talk about, and it depends on what that means for you. It depends on what that means for you. If you don't have anything to talk about, usually your therapist can help you, one, gain a little bit more insight or mm-hmm. ask the right questions to get more information. And or they'll have something that can kind of still help you move in the direction that you want to move in.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about goals
mm-hmm.
and what are your goals. Your therapist is usually, brain is always working on like, okay, how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help them get there?
Right.
How can I pull them in the direction toward their goals?
Right.
And make sure that even identifying whether or not this is a real goal or not is something that therapists kind of work. Well, I know for me, I'll help clients, like they'll say this is their goal. And so we discuss like, okay, why is this a goal?
Mm-hmm.
What's created this goal? Is it your goal? Is it society's goal? Is it your parents' goal? Like, where does these goals come from?
Right.
You know, those are things that can be discussed as well.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's why it's so important to be able to communicate from the beginning what you want to get out of therapy. Because
right.
like you said, okay, then I'm the keeper of your goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're talking about, you know, if we're in session and you are highlighting maybe behavior or choices that from my experience and my training and from what I know about getting to that goal,
mm-hmm.
you're not, you know, like let's talk about it. And is that going to get you closer to your goal?
Right.
Or is it going to keep us here or
mm-hmm.
are we moving in another direction?
Right.
And if we are moving in another direction, maybe that's because your goal has shifted. Maybe because sometimes when you start therapy,
right.
it's, well, I thought I wanted to X, but now I've realized I really don't. I want Y,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so that's okay too. But again, having some awareness, and again, if you feel like I don't know what I want, okay, well, let's start there.
Yeah.
You know, what's blocking your vision?
Right.
And that's something that you can work in therapy.
True, 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 true. Definitely. So why do some therapists focus on goals and other therapists don't?
I think it just really depends on that therapist's style,
yeah.
their training, whatever model they sort of subscribe to as far as change.
Right.
You know,
right.
how change happens. And I think that's important. I always tell clients, you know, that I do want to find out what their previous experience, if they had any with therapy.
Mm-hmm.
One, what worked for you, what didn't, But I also tell them, you know, therapists, we're just as different as our personalities, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. even if we did, you know, share possibly like the same theories or models that we use, we bring so much of ourselves also.
Right.
You know, we're not making widgets in this profession. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're it's the human experience.
And it's so, the connection that in a relationship that is a big part
right,
of therapy.
Right, right, right.
So me having a different personality works because do we connect on that level mm-hmm. before we can even get to the theories and things like that.
Right.
And a lot of times what happens is we choose our theories based on our personality.
Right, right. So true.
So yeah. if you connect with me as probably a more direct person, a more logical person, you know, I still bring in the emotional part as well, mm-hmm. then you might connect more with solution focused.
Right.
You know, so that it works that way where if you connect with that therapist, then their theories will probably kind of align with that as
right.
well.
Right.
But yeah, so it just depends on the theory if or whatever space they're working in. I know we talk a lot about goal-oriented therapy mm-hmm. and we talk a lot about like, what do you want out of it? And focusing more client focused.
Right.
And some theories aren't like that. Some
right.
theories are the therapist is the expert
right.
and they kind of help you direct your life and things like that.
Yeah.
It just depends on who you're seeking.
Yeah, that's definitely not me. I'm like, that's not me, you know, because, and again, I'm not knocking anybody who does it because there are times, you know, we've talked about it before, you know, I've shared before, I'm a fan of therapy, not just because I'm a therapist, because
right.
I've done my own therapy. And so there have been times in my life where I needed my therapist to be more directive.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like I needed that a therapist that was like, you know, gave me like some real direct guidance.
Right.
And then it was like, then I was at a different point. I'm like, okay, I don't need that anymore. Now I need the ability to
explore
what's mm-hmm. right for me
mm-hmm.
or maybe now I need a therapist where I can bring more of my spirituality into it. And so that's okay. And that's why it's important that there are so many different types of therapists mm-hmm. because there's so many different types of people.
Right. And I think you brought up a good point of you don't necessarily have to have the same therapist your entire life.
No.
Because you need different things at
different
points in your life.
Yes.
And so that means that depending on who that therapist is, they may have fit very, very well at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you need more emotional support and things like that, you might go to a different type of therapist. And so I think that's how, you know, it's when people say like, oh, I went to a therapist, it was a bad therapist, or it was a bad, you know, experience.
Yeah.
As therapists, we're kind of like, well, was it a bad experience or was it just a bad fit?
Bad fit,
because
right.
that could be two different things. Now, there are times when it's a bad experience and
yes.
it's a bad therapist.
Yes.
100%. There are times when
absolutely.
That happens.
But like, 100%.
But sometimes it is just we weren't a good fit because their style, their personality, all of that didn't fit with where I was at in that moment.
Right.
And maybe 10 years from now, that person might have been perfect for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, just really understanding again that the other piece is sometimes you're in a space where you may go to see a therapist. For example, I might see a client individually,
mm-hmm.
But then they're struggling with their relationship. And so the way that I work is I'll say, okay, I encourage you to also do your couples work,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to send you to somebody else
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be working maybe with two therapists at once. You might
right.
be doing couples work with one and then doing
individual.
Your individual. Mm-hmm. I specialize in sexuality, right? So I've had times where my clients, be it individually or as a couple, maybe it's a couple and they're seeing a therapist doing couples work, but the that particular therapist doesn't specialize in issues around
right,
sexuality.
Right.
So they might just come see me for that specific issue.
Right.
So yeah, we have a variety of needs, so it's good that
right.
there's a variety of options.
And so just because you go to one therapist and it's one way, you can't expect that with every therapist that you see, which
no.
again is important with having that phone call so that you can kind of know what to expect.
Absolutely.
And so I've had plenty of times I've worked with couples where they've seen a therapist and they've seen a therapist for like a year or two and it's been some time and they'll come see me and I'll say, oh, so did y'all address this in therapy? And they'll say no. And I'm like, oh, see, I never talked about this at all. And they're like,
right.
no. And I'm like, okay, you know, and that's fine. It's just
mm-hmm.
maybe that's not what y'all were focused on at that time. Maybe y'all were working on other things.
Mm-hmm.
So you, it's, I feel like, I want to say it's like having a job, but it's been a long time since I've had like an actual employer. but in my head, when you go to a job, and you say your supervisor or whoever, it's not a good fit. Like, right. You just don't like mm-hmm. them. You may not quit the job because it's like, I like my job. I like everything else. It's just this person I don't get along with. Right. Then they shift and it's another supervisor. And yeah. then it's like, oh, this is a better fit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I think it's one of those things where it's not going to always be that perfect fit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does. It just feels like this is right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, oh, I get some stuff, but it's not that great. You know, it just depends. It's all about the personality. It's just different people mm-hmm. do different things. And so everybody doesn't fit in your life. Anybody that you have a relationship with doesn't automatically fit. And it's the same thing for a therapist.
Right.
And so if you are a person that like, I need to have goals, I need to know, you know, what we're working toward. I need to see results. I need to, you know, then you need probably solution focused CBT, you know, those people. Mm-hmm. If you're kind of like, I just want to explore and figure out myself, mm-hmm. then you might need a more experiential, you know, right. a different type of therapist. So that's why it's important to kind of check in and see what their beliefs are as far as therapy right. and what their practices are.
Which, I mean, I recognize, we've talked about this before, sometimes that's hard when, you know, you go through different directories or something and you're like, I don't even know. Like, how do I pick from this array?
Right.
You
right.
know,
that's
like,
true.
How do I
or mean, not even knowing the treatment modalities.
Like what is that? What is right. this? What does that mean? What is right. EFT? What is DBT? What is this alphabet soup after yeah. the person's name?
right.
You know? So it is, it's a process. And so hopefully with some of these, you know, podcasts that we do and the different, you know, blogs to kind of give you some guidance
yes.
on how to go through just the process of picking a therapist and what to expect.
Right. How do I know if therapy is working?
So again, I think this is, I sound like a broken record, but this is why having an idea of what it is that you want to get out of it, because then measuring it, it can't be all or nothing, right? And so maybe what I wanted to get out of therapy was, you know, when we started couples work, one of the goals or what we wanted to get out of therapy was we wanted to be able to talk about money without arguing and then not talking to each other for the next 2 days.
Right.
So let's look at where we're at now. So now when we talk about money, we still argue, but now instead of not talking to each other for 2 days, you know, we might be mad for a couple of hours, but then we're able to kind of let it go more quickly.
Right.
Okay. You're not completely eliminating the arguing, but now you're not staying mad at each other for 2 days.
Yeah.
That's progress.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's improvement. It may not be the full meaning of your
right.
goal, but it's improvement.
Right. And being able to identify that I think that's very concrete in being able to say, like, when I started, I was here, and now I'm here. Mm-hmm. I think another, for me, another way to know therapy is working, I have a lot of clients that'll say, like, I'm more aware. I notice more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying more attention. Mm-hmm. I see patterns. Those are things that you may not have seen
right.
before you started therapy.
Right.
You know, you can just kind of go through life and, you know, whatever. And so when you start to kind of, when you're just, I don't know, the awareness of
yeah.
things that impact you and how you impact others, I think is a huge deal.
Like when I have clients say this happened and then I heard your voice, you know, like
yeah.
I heard you saying, yes, it's in the form of my voice, but it's what you're talking about. It's that awareness that you now have.
Right.
That awareness of, hey, they're crossing my boundaries.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Or clients start using terms like my boundaries.
Or, I was triggered.
I had to practice my self-care. That's
yes.
a sign
yes.
that therapy has rewired your brain.
Starts seeping into your life. Right. And that's a sign that you're using the tools outside of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing is I know when as a solution-focused therapy, I was trained to be like a triage, like we help you in crisis, we give you the tools, and we release you to the world.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
yes, come back, we give you more tools, we help, but I'm not a person that sees a lot of clients for like 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, I handled this situation without waiting to come to therapy, mm-hmm. especially for couples.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because they like to say, like, we'll just wait and talk about it in therapy.
Right.
So when you're at the point where, like, you have, y'all had an issue, you addressed it, maybe it didn't go perfectly.
Right.
But it went better than it did before, and you felt comfortable in handling it.
Mm-hmm.
That's progress.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That you're able to do some of these things outside of session. Without
Without having somebody right there mm-hmm. to guide you and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. that's the, you know, the goal of therapy. Oh, I keep speaking for myself because I don't know what all therapists do. My goal is for my clients to get the skills to live their best life without me right next to them.
Yes. Same here. That's my goal. I always tell them, I'm like, I don't want you to need me for, like, the goal is to not need me. That
right.
That doesn't mean I don't want to see you.
Right. I love my clients. They're fine.
It just means, yeah, it just means, you know, you learning how to have the process that you're learning here in therapy, how to process that on your own so that you don't need me.
Right.
It doesn't mean you can't come back.
And I was going to say, and if things come up and you're like, well, I need to go back and talk, I'm here. But I don't want it to be a dependent where you can't go through life without my opinion or my thoughts or me guiding you in a certain way.
Right. Especially if you've come to therapy because you have struggled making decisions for yourself. Because people always told you what to do. Oh, I'm going to be on you. What are you?
Right.
You know, like,
so how did you do that? Outside of what would you do if I wasn't here? Mm-hmm. How would, you know, yes. Definitely.
I just like to think of it really as your therapist being that mirror for you, that mirror that's holding up to you and reflecting back either that which, ooh, we don't like to always look at, but maybe that, like I've said before, you've forgotten mm-hmm. or, you know, that which you are capable of doing and you're just maybe not seeing it, but that's really like the goal of therapy.
Right.
It's not for me either. Again,
right.
like you
right.
said, it's not to keep you in therapy for years and years and years and years.
Awesome. So last question, I just want to know, this is something I feel like we should do every week, is a book or a resource that you feel like would be helpful for clients. It could be related to this topic or it could just be one that you just really enjoy referring. Not clients, but just anybody that's listening.
Oh, one of my favorite books, I don't have it here because I have them both at home. But one of my favorite books, because so I specialize, again, in relationships and sexuality and love working with women. I love working with women who are disconnected from their sexuality, mm-hmm. be it because of trauma, shame, pain, you know, female sexual pain. And so one of my favorite books to give them, whether they come in with a partner or by themselves, is Emily Nagoski's Come As You Are.
Mm-hmm.
That book, I've had clients tell me, this changed my life, because it does such a good job of explaining women's sexuality, and so many aspects of women's sexuality is pathologized, mm-hmm. like, oh, she's not in the mood, or this and that, and it just does such a great job of letting women know, you're normal.
Right.
You're okay.
Right.
And it's such a relief to so many women. So that's one of my favorite books. Yeah.
Same. If you've listened mm-hmm. to Room for Relations, I've talked about that book a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also, for when I work with couples, and I've said on here before, like I like working with couples. I like working with women, but I really enjoy working with men. And so there's a book that I always tell, I refer to my guys and I always say, like, it's a little outdated. So everything in it, you don't have to necessarily apply, but it has really good themes. It's called No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Mm.
And it focuses on how a lot of men nowadays are starting to grow up in this world of, like, they have to please the women in their lives,
mm.
but they're not learning how to please themselves or how to be assertive.
Mm.
And so it talks about how it is all these different types of nice guys that consider themselves to be good guys, consider themselves to be nice guys, but they might make not so great decisions in their relationships, including cheating, including being passive, and, you know. And so it talks about how you can get more of an identity as a man, and as the man in the relationship, and I'd say that in a not so as far as like gender roles, but mm-hmm. more of like who you are as a person and being aware of that and then being assertive in what you need and desire in a relationship and not feeling like you always have to please the other person or make the other person or happy or fix the other person.
Right.
It gives you autonomy and gives the person you're with autonomy as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good book for guys that are struggling, feeling like they're always wrong. They can't never do anything right. They're always trying to make their wives or moms or whoever happy. Like, it's a really good book. So no more Mr. Nice Guy. I always say, read it with a grain of salt. There's some things you take, some things you throw away, but it's good information.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. So I think that's it for today.
Yay.
If you are in the Houston area, we have an event on Friday. It's a small event, though. So you have to get your tickets because we're only allowing, 15?
Like 15 people.
That sounds like a lot, too. But yeah. Maybe like 15 people there. Yeah. It's going to be a movie night where we're going to watch some films.
So it's documentary style. If you remember a few sessions back, we had ASEC certified sex therapist Stephanie Falcon Banisaw, who is therapist of Katie, and she is going to be sharing with us some of these resources that she uses, some of these documentary style videos, and talking about how she helps couples reconnect when they're struggling with sexual intimacy. Yeah. So it'll be a nice little intimate,
right?
So we can ask questions and watch these films that, you know, probably wouldn't be the best to watch
we need to have a smaller group. if you are,
great
it's
learning
in Katy, right?
Yes, it's out in Katy. Mm-hmm. Great learning opportunity. We're going to have CEUs that night. So, if you are a member of the directory.
Yes, if you are a member, meaning your practice is listed on the directory, you can come for free. We've been saying forever we want to do like free events for members. Discounted events and things like that. So this will be one of those events that will be free if you're a member. If you're not a member, it's just
$15.
We'll have wine, of course, because that's what we do. and some snacks and just kind of sit around. And again, you'll get a CEU.
Mm-hmm.
So wine, snacks, and a CEU for $15.
I mean, come on.
And a good discussion about sexuality and working with couples.
And you get to hang out with these two brown chicks changing the face of therapy.
These dope chicks will be there. Hanging out. So if you're interested, on the Facebook page, we have it on the events. Mm-hmm. Also, if you go to Eventbrite, search Melanin and Mental Health, it'll pop up for movie night and CEUs. It'll pop up. So sign up, come. It'll be this Friday out in Katy, and hopefully we'll see you guys there. And again, make sure y'all sign up for the directory. Again, a perk of being a member, as well as, of course, getting clients, getting phone calls. And we've had an upsurge kind of in phone calls.
Mm-hmm. Of saying they found us on the
saying they found us on the directory, which was a very cool feeling.
Very cool. I found you on Melanin and Mental Healther.
And I've seen a lot of people that have gotten contact, people sending out contact like, hey, I'm a couple therapist and stuff like that. So we need to have like a thing in our group in the Melanin and Mental Health professionals, people like share if they've been found on Melanin and Mental Health. That would be cool.
That's another thing. If you're on Facebook, join the Melanin and Mental Health professionals group. Use it as kind of a little hub to share resources or, we'll have people contact us. Do you know somebody in Maryland that's a therapist? And so we always go there. We always go to the directory first.
Right.
And we go to the Facebook group. So, stay connected with us.
Melanin and Mental Health across social media. Melanin Health on Twitter.
Yes.
And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.